There were these doctors. They were brothers. My mother said that everyone knew that's where people would get the dope to poison the Osage. What was their name? I asked. The Shones. I remembered the Shones. They were the doctors who had claimed that the bullet that had killed Anna Brown had disappeared. The doctors who had initially concealed that Bill Smith had given a last statement incriminating Hale, and who had arranged it so that one of them became the administrator of Rita Smith's invaluable estate. The doctors whom investigators suspected of giving Molly Burkhart poison instead of insulin. Many of the cases seemed bound by a web of silent conspirators. Mathis, the Big Hill Trading Company owner and the guardian of Anna Brown and her mother, was a member of the inquest into Brown's murder that failed to turn up the bullet. He also managed, on behalf of Molly's family, the team of private eyes that conspicuously never cracked any of the cases. A witness had told the Bureau that after Henry Roan's murder, Hale was eager to get the corpse away from one undertaker and delivered to the funeral home at the Big Hill Trading Company. The murder plots depended upon doctors who falsified death certificates and upon undertakers who quickly and quietly buried bodies. The guardian, whom McAuliffe suspected of killing his grandmother, was a prominent attorney working for the tribe, who never interfered with the criminal networks operating under his nose. Nor did bankers, including the apparent murderer, Bert, who were profiting from the criminal Indian business. Nor did the venal mayor of Fairfax, an ally of Hale's who also served as a guardian. Nor did countless lawmen and prosecutors and judges who had a hand in the blood money. In 1926, the Osage leader Bacon Rind remarked, "There are men amongst the whites, honest men, but they are mighty scarce." Garrick Bailey, a leading anthropologist on Osage culture, said to me, "If Hale had told what he knew, a high percentage of the county's leading citizens would have been in prison." Indeed, virtually every element of society was complicit in the murderous system, which is why just about any member of this society might have been responsible for the murder of McBride in Washington. He threatened to bring down not only Hale, but a vast criminal operation that was reaping millions and millions of dollars. On February 23, 1927, weeks after Paul Peace vowed to disinherit and divorce the wife he suspected of poisoning him, he was injured in a hit-and-run and left to bleed out on the road. Webb told me that the familiar forces had conspired to paper over his death. "Maybe you could look into it," she said. I nodded, though I knew that in my own way I was as lost in the mist as Tom White or Molly Burkhart had been. Webb walked me outside, onto the front porch. It was dusk, and the fringes of the sky had darkened. The town and the street were empty, and beyond them the prairie too. "This land is saturated with blood," Webb said. For a moment she fell silent, and we could hear the leaves of the blackjacks rattling restlessly in the wind. Then she repeated what God told Cain after he killed Abel. "The blood cries out from the ground." This is Danny Campbell. We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Killers of the Flower Moon, The Osage Murders and the Birth of the FBI by David Gran. This program was directed by Travis Tunn. Executive Producer, Kelly Gilday. Text copyright 2017 by David Gran. Production copyright 2017, Penguin Random House, LLC. All rights reserved.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.